Good morning. How many of you like to walk around in bare feet? There's a lot of people that like to walk around in bare feet. They like the freedom from their shoes. They like to maybe feel the grass on their feet or the sand between their toes, or they go into the mud and they squish around with their feet, or if you're in a pasture around here, you might be squishing around in something else. But after a while, your feet might start to look like these pictures up here. And, you know, whenever I had dirty feet, first thing before I came into the house, my mom would yell down to me, "Wash your feet. Make sure you did not bring that dirt in." Well, believe it or not, that's going to be our theme today as we start the Easter experience. Our question today is, are we willing to wash their feet? Today, we're going to look at what is the purpose of life. And so many people think about, what is the purpose of my life? Some people might think, the purpose is my job. Or the purpose is like a hobby of mine. Or it's to do volunteer work. So many people are looking for the purpose that they have for their life. You know, I'm a teacher and, you know, I teach math and, you know, I teach these kids all these equations and formulas and stuff, and that's my job. But I hope that my purpose isn't just to teach the kids the quadratic equation or the Pythagorean theorem or something like that, because most likely they're going to forget it. And, you know, that stuff might not stick with them very long. However, if I go into my classroom and I set an example of how you should treat other people, being patient with people that aren't getting the material as fast as you hope they would, or being kind to that kid that you know is a pain to everybody else, or showing a kid whose home life is crappy that they are important to you and that you are happy that they're there. Maybe that's more of my purpose, hopefully, as a teacher than it is just to get these kids to be able to solve equations or do whatever. I have a couple quotes up here. One is from former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. She felt the purpose of life is to live it, to taste experience to the utmost, to reach out eagerly and without fear for newer and richer experiences. So sort of like grab life by the horns, experience it, live it. You only got like one shot at it. Live it to the utmost. Then you have a German philosopher, Albert Schweitzer. Everyone must work to live, but the purpose of life is to serve and to show compassion and the will to help others. Only then have we ourselves become true human beings. So Albert Schweitzer, he viewed the purpose of life is to more to serve other people than it is to like live to the for ourselves. His was more to serve other people. Jesus told us, or tells us in Matthew 28, what his purpose is. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." Now, these two sons were Jesus' apostles, and their mother came to talk on behalf of them. I could just imagine my mom going into my boss's office, because sort of Jesus was their boss. You know, they were following him, and say to my boss, "Hey, can you give my son a raise? Or can you, like, make sure he has that nice corner office?" You know, I just can't imagine that. But maybe back then in the culture and so forth, that's what the mothers did. They went to the boss, and they ask for favors for their kids. But the other 10 did not take too kindly to this. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus, who arguably could say he is the greatest person of all time, told these guys, you want to be great? You got to serve others. You got to become a slave to other people and put others' needs in front of your own. And that was totally different than the culture. You know, the great leaders of that time, they didn't serve you. You served them. You tried to make them happy, hoping you wouldn't, you know, get killed or something like that by them. The leaders of that time, the kings, the rulers, were not there to serve the people. It was the other way around. But Jesus said, you want to be great? You got to learn how to serve everyone. You become the slave, just like I did for you guys. Think about how did Jesus serve. First thing, obviously, his miracles. His miracles served a lot of purposes. Everything Jesus did was to glorify his Father. That was the first thing. Secondly, he performed miracles so people would come to believe in him, and through that belief, they would have a chance to be saved. And third, his miracles also helped out. Blind got their sight back. Lepers got cleansed. People were raised from the dead. Jesus also taught the people in a way they could understand with his parables. Nobody read back then. Very few literate people back in the biblical times. So Jesus had to teach them in a way so they would understand what God was like, what a loving heavenly Father they had, and what heaven was like. Jesus also served the outcasts. How many times in the Bible did he stand up for people that were like shunned by society? The sinners, they were called, and nobody should talk to them or associate with them. And finally, Jesus, whenever he had a chance to serve, he did it. He took advantage of those opportunities. He didn't care if you were a Samaritan, Gentile, Roman, whatever. He served others whenever he had a chance to help someone out. So that leads us to question, how do we view service? How excited are we to serve someone when we know, or to serve God when we know it's going to be a tough situation? How eager are we to serve when we know that people's opinions of us are not going to be that great for doing those actions? How eager are we to serve when it doesn't fit into our schedule? We schedule a ton of things. Do we ever schedule time to serve others? When we do serve, what is our attitude? Eric just said, give with a cheerful heart. That's what the Lord wants. Do we serve with a cheerful heart, or do we serve out of guilt? I guess either way, at least we're serving. But I'm sure God would love us to do it out of love. And are we prepared to serve? You know, if someone needs us to just hear them, are we willing to just sit down and hear what they need to say? Are we prepared to talk about our faith? Are we prepared to help others when the need arises? This lady here in this story, she nailed every one of these questions. And this lady, we don't know her name. But Jesus says about her, not in this version, but in a different version, she will be mentioned throughout history for this action that she is about to do. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. The woman did not care that night that she was going to be ridiculed for coming into that house. She didn't care about her reputation. She didn't care that she might not even be welcomed into that house. She wanted to show the Lord how much she loved him and how much she appreciated him being there. She took the risk and came in there, and she cleaned Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair. Now, our Lord is perfect, but he had dirty feet. I can pretty much guarantee you that he had dirty feet, because he walked around in sandals, and the dust and everything from the road got on them, got on his feet. She didn't care. She kissed them and she cleaned them. Would we be willing to do the same thing for our Lord? Maybe not clean his feet, but are we willing to serve him in a tough situation? Jesus, in response, serves the woman. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Jesus loved what this woman did for him. He appreciated the fact that she showed him love from the minute he came into that house. He even sort of made Simon look a little bit bad, because he said, "Look, you're the host here, and you did nothing for me when I came into this house. This woman, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. She poured perfume on them. You did nothing for me." Here's Jesus standing up for one of those outcasts, making her seem very important and very loved by him. Do our actions reflect our love for Christ, just as that woman's did? That woman that day got to hear the words that every Christian wants to hear: "Your sins are forgiven and your faith has saved you." What a reward she received for serving Jesus that day. Sort of see the theme about washing the feet. Here, Jesus washes the feet. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus that night, this was at the Last Supper, performed one of the lowliest jobs that you could do: wash another person's feet. Again, dirty, smelly feet. The lowliest servant would do that when you came into their house. Jesus, the greatest, did it for his apostles. And you know what's beautiful? He did it for every apostle. He did it for Judas, who was going to betray him in a few hours. He did it for Peter, who was going to deny him. He did it for all of them who he knew they were going to desert him that night. What does that tell us about our Savior? What does that tell us about our service? Do we serve just the people we like? Do we serve the people we get along with? Jesus couldn't have been happy with Judas that night. He just couldn't have been happy. He couldn't have been happy knowing what Peter was going to do either. but he washed their feet. Is it only the people we get along with, or maybe strangers that we serve, and not the people that we struggle with? Do we fail to serve them? When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked him. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." After hearing this story, has this changed our view of service? I thought back to our noon meal that we did a few weeks ago, and I thought, you know, that was a great thing. 60 people got served a meal that day. And I was thinking back, and I'm like, I had a conversation with a couple people. I'm like, that was really easy to do. Just cook a meal and serve it. And it was a nice thing to do for the community. But I'm thinking back, I'm like, what would Jesus have done at that meal? He would have been very glad to be there to serve, no doubt. But we had a lot of downtime that day because the crowd wasn't that big. And I think back, you know the one thing I didn't do? I did not go out and talk to any of the people that we served that day. I really missed that opportunity to go out and say, "Hey, I'm Dave. How's your meal? How's your day going?" I really missed out on that. I could just imagine Jesus would have been out talking to everyone we served that day. And I failed to do that. Anne did a great job because every time they were getting their coffee or juice, she was talking to them, wishing them a happy day or a good day and stuff. And that was really great to see. But I wish I would have taken advantage of that and pushed myself a little bit more past that comfort level of just standing behind a bar and serving some food and going out and meeting the people that we served that day. Because that's what Jesus would have done. After hearing this story about Jesus and washing the feet or how he stood up for that lady, do we have a greater appreciation for our Lord? Hopefully we do. In wrapping up this lesson, we are called to be like Christ. In Hebrews, Paul writes, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We are supposed to imitate Christ in our faith, in our daily walk. Jesus lowered himself and came to earth to serve everyone and to love everyone. We are reminded in Matthew 28 about our service. And when we serve others, we're actually serving our Lord. When did you see a stranger and invite, or when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." As we go out from this church and we have another chance to serve our Lord this week, let's pray that we have a good attitude about it. Let's pray that we serve everyone that we meet, friend or foe. Let's pray that we take advantage of those opportunities and not worry so much about our schedule, but worry about what message we're sending the others who we meet. And let's pray as we go about our week that we serve others with joy and gladness. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you sent your Son to earth to set an example for us. We thank you, Jesus, for your teachings. We thank you for your example of service for all people. And we pray, Lord, as we are about to go back out into our world, that our service may reflect your service. May we serve all joyfully and with gladness in our hearts. May others come to know you through the example that we set. May we help others with their needs and put their needs in front of our own. And may we always help others to find their way to you. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, our church extends the invitation. If you need any prayers at this time, you have something on your heart, please come forward. Or if you would like to be baptized and become a part of God's family, baptismal is ready. If you would like to come forward at this time, please do so as we sing.